Now it's time to take your seats.
Welcome to Movies, Movies, Movies on Mornings with Bridie Tanner. Featuring Jack and Andre.
Yes, yes, yes. Hello, how are you?
Do you mind if I just start by saying the voice you just heard was Lily Bennett, who is currently in Munich, is that right? In Germany, and she just saw 3 full nights of Werner Herzog films with Werner Herzog in presence.
And he was saying, everyone, just get out there and make films on your iPhone. He was being a total enabler.
He was preaching the don't wait for money, go outside, make all your movies of your dreams, don't wait to be asked.
Well, Werner Herzog is also the kind of person who says forge documents to get into places that you're not allowed to go to make movies.
Amazing.
Everything for the art.
We condone.
We're pro-Werner?
Pro-Werner. 100% pro-Werner.
Okay. Let's talk about what's happening in Sydney Spotlight. Oh, stick around because... Yep. You're going to give away the location of a free set of scary films that sound really cool.
Yeah. It's, dare I say, the coolest curation in Sydney. Oops.
I mean, they just keep getting better, this specific place.
And I just want to say, while we're on the topic of free / cheap movies, every week we post on the program page a list of every cinema in Sydney and what days they do deals on. So if you're like, oh, I feel like a movie today, go check it out, fbiradio.com, and click on the Mornings with Bridie Tanner tab. And the producers have kindly just listed there for you everywhere you can find a cheap movie.
I mistakenly found out that you can get $8 tickets from Dendy. Just check the program page to find out.
That's it. All right, let's get into what's been happening.
Movie news.
So I've been recently getting interested in who some of the early female directors were. Turns out they're not a new thing.
They've been
around for ages. Can you tell me a little bit about Lena Wertmüller?
Yeah, that's right. So before Greta Gerwig got her Best Director nom, years and years and years ago, decades ago, Lena Wertmüller was the first female director to be nominated at the Oscars for Best Director. And she's currently 91. She didn't win because we've only had one winner and it wasn't her. But
was it Jane Campion?
No. It was Catherine Bigelow for Hurt Locker.
That's right.
Anyway, she's finally going to get an Oscar, an honorary Oscar, which is what they give people, like, late, you know what I mean? When times have passed and it's appropriate, they honor people with these Oscars.
I think David Lynch is getting one as well.
This year, Gina Davis, famous Thelma and Louise star, David Lynch, and Lena are going to get honorary Oscars, which is basically their way of saying, you didn't get an Oscar, so here's the pity one that you deserved years and years and years ago.
And we're saying, like, if you want to nerd out, this is like a perfect excuse to go and watch Lena movies.
A famous example was Agnes Varda, who won one 2 years ago.
Can you tell us a little bit about Lena Wertmüller's films? What are they usually about? What kind of style are they in?
Yeah, I mean...
What was her directing touch?
I think her directing touch was just magical realism, but with a feminine flair. So you could almost say that she inspired people like Sofia Coppola and Guillermo del Toro, who
won... She's like post... Fellini pre-Sofia Coppola.
Yeah, she exists in this, like, theatrical, magical
Bride
world.
Bride is just smiling, like, okay.
Way over my head.
No.
But speaking of Oscars, let's talk about the Australian Oscars.
Yes, which the Actor Awards.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking a little bit earlier about, and in previous episodes of Movies, 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 Sequin in a Blue Room, it took out the Audience Award at the Sydney Film Festival. Mm-hmm, it's a locally director.
We interviewed the producer, Sophie Hatch.
Producer.
On this show, and that producer has now been nominated. Actually, do the producers get nominated, or is it just the director?
Yeah.
The film's been nominated for Best New Indie Film at the Actor Awards, which is a huge honour and a huge opportunity for this locally made film about this kid who goes to sex saunas.
But also made by people in their 20s. I think it's amazing.
And it's not the only movie...
nominated. There are other movies nominated for the Actor Awards. One of them is The Nightingale, which has been nominated for 16 awards. I'll just run through those. How about I do that?
The Nightingale has been nominated for the following actors.
Best Lead Actor, Best Lead Actress, Best Supporting Actress, Best Film, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Production Design, Best Costume Design, Best Direction, Best Editing, Best Sound, Screenplay, Original or Adaptation, Best Casting, Best Hair and Makeup, and Best Cinematography.
Imagine if it only got Best Hair and Makeup.
Well, I think it's really interesting because the entire cast is being nominated for acting awards, which means that, you know, the survivors of the horrible things that happened in the film and the perpetrators are all being, you know, championed and in depicting what was so horribly real in this film, which I think is really exciting and motivational.
Yeah.
Because the main... army dude in that movie, I forget.
Damon Herriman, who also played
some hot guy.
No, he played Charles Manson in two other things this year.
Okay,
in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and in Mindhunter.
Interesting, because I thought, like, how can this guy, like, walk around at these film awards and people not, like, want to spit on him? Because
yeah.
He was so hateable in that movie. And to hear that he's also played Charles Manson in Once Upon a Time, like, you just
got to have, like, a safe home to be able to go to those kind of places.
You know, there is a real... It's a career move in Hollywood to play white supremacists. I mean, think of Get Out. So many A-list actors stood up and said, I want to play the white supremacist in these films.
And Marnie did it.
And Marnie did it. And Catherine Keener did it. And these people want to depict these horrible figures.
And Michelle Pfeiffer in Maleficent 2, which we're about to review.
Because it's important to just not, you know, not just to show the victims of this, of the abuse that happens in history, but to also show the people who create the abuse. Anyway, not condoning, just explaining.
Thank you for explaining. Now, I thought Weinstein was in jail, but it turns out he's not. Shows how much I know. What's happened with him?
No, Gary. Harvey Weinstein was spotted at an acting incubator event, which is basically just this downtown chic New York stand-up night where, you know, up-and-coming actors go up and just show off their chops. And Harvey showed up with a group of actors, sat in a little booth during this live event. He was clocked straight away. The security asked everyone to not make a fuss about it, but this really brave comedian, whose name I believe is Kelly Bakanan, went up on stage. She is a survivor of sexual assault, and she just ripped into him, and she went for it. And she afterwards spoke to BuzzFeed and said, I felt really bad because it wasn't my own material. It was just, you know, reactive to him being there, and it was filmed, and it wasn't what I planned to do. So she kind of had...
So she got up for her comedy set, and instead of giving a set, she ripped into Harvey Weinstein, who was in the crowd.
100%, yeah.
She was like, what did she say? She
said... I don't think we should say the jokes on it.
No, but one of them was just like, as a comedian, I've got to talk about the elephant in the room. And
yeah.
What's the name of this comedian if people want to check her out after the show?
That's the only part of the news that I'm not 100% sure about. I think
something.
It's Kelly Buchanan.
But just type Weinstein heckled into your Google and you'll get some really ace videos.
Or type in Actors Hour, which is the event that took place.
Love it. This is Movies, Movies, Movies with Jack and Andre. We've got one more piece of news and then we are getting into two reviews where you'll hear reviews of Maleficent. Maleficent 2 and The Laundromat as well. First of all, though, Cardi B in Fast and the Furious.
Is that right.
Is that the total story?
I think that's the
headline. That's all we know. And let's get to it.
You know what's hilarious, though? Iggy Azalea was in a Fast and Furious film and we don't hear about her very often. So, Cardi, is this a career suicide?
You're
right.
Cardi B has the name Car in her name. So, she's like, maybe.
But also, I only see her in the back and I did want to know, like, I didn't know Cardi could drive.
Can Cardi drive a manual?
And also, Cardi's a Bernie supporter. Like, where's the Green New Deal come into the Fast and Furious universe?
Should we have some electric cars in Fast and the Furious? Is that what this movie
is? Is she going to ride a bike?
You've lost me, guys. I'm sorry. I'm over here just wishing we can move on to that question.
Sorry.
Let's go to a song now when we come back. Two reviews on Movies, 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 FBI 94.5.
Souvenir d'une Madame Nicole, un style qui pensait qu'un bounou n'était pas fait pour l'école. Je portais un velours troué, des bottes rouges en plastique, une cagoule en laine, un chandail ou des plaies baskets. Le coiffeur, on ne savait même pas encore que j'existais. Mais sois sûr que le premier qui nous a vus s'est désisté. Pourtant jeune et innocent, la mort volée s'enclinait. On squatte le bac à sable avec son sable et nos idées, afin de faire du vandalisme, même sans le savoir. Nos parents n'ont pas, donc on erre sans avoir. D'après nos voisins, de gros racistes, je le précise, nous étions mal élevés, leur berger allemand mieux dressé. Moi j'y crois pas, d'ailleurs j'y ai jamais cru, car parental est le seul amour que j'ai jamais eu, donc pour pas se vénérer, ce qui met à l'amende les vertus d'une nerne, donc du thé à la menthe.
Bidonville, ambiance clandestine dans un bar à Barbès. Et à la menthe, couscous et tagine à la carte. Plus de scopitone pour Mouloud et Saïd Abdallah. Avec un sale accent, pas de salam alek. Me dit Hassan l'athlète, originaire d'Algérie, d'Hollywood à Tamanrasset. Plus de thé à la menthe, juste des palabres amères. Comme un malade mental, j'ai mal à la tête. Je cavale en Stan Smith, Adidas, jeans 501, savage mental. Ici c'est v'là l'attentat. Pour quelques douze de plus, y'a des carnages dans l'air. Cette France me désintègre, on classe
passe l'arabe comme un barbare bancal. Nique la culture du barbecue, du steak et des fast food au bled. C'est la djellaba et les sandales. Doujda à Casablanca. C'est banal en bas de la tête, je m'emmerde et je pèse que dalle. Ça se bat la frambade, mon rôle, ma peine et ma joie se confondent. Et c'est tout ce qui reste de notre héritage culturel. De notre héritage culturel.
Nastase et 500, un pento, cassette de fond, quel daron, 505, mais 20 le mot, problème avec un grand P, face auquel tout le monde a tremblé ou rampé. Après l'innocence, le pessimisme s'est ancré, prend l'incandescence, le droit chemin s'est cambré. Je lui ai tendu la main et le bonheur m'a crampé. Genre, seul l'argent et l'honneur peut me rendre vrai. Mais si on peut t'accuser de choses que si t'avais fait, tu te pendrais. Il leur faut un arabe, un noir, ce que tu veux, bref, du concret. On a eu la chance de ne jamais se prendre au sérieux, côtoyer le vice sans jamais faire le saut périlleux. Modelant notre vie loin du saut de l'ange, à l'école, nouveau tour contre l'albatros de Beauterre. On s'est retrouvé dans le rap contre toute réelle attente. La recette sans pleurs, stylo était à la menthe.
The Caution from the Ocean's 12 film. You're on Movies, Movies, Movies. I'm joined by Jack and Andre, our film lords.
One. No, no, no. Two reviews. Two reviews.
Give me more reviews.
Two 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 reviews.
Maleficent 2 is out.
It's out and about and proud and ready to go.
Let's take a listen to the trailer.
Mistress, I have a little bit of news.
Don't ruin my morning.
Was Angelina Jolie?
There was, yeah. Almost could be Julie Andrews. Don't ruin my morning.
I love
don't
when she's got a British accent. Lara Croft and Maleficent.
Okay, ladies. Maleficent 2, Mistress of Evil, y'all, posts the question, is Maleficent a queer Shiro? She is played by Angelina Jolie in the fairy tale land of Far, Far Away. I'm just kidding. This isn't a Shrek. And her daughter, who is played by L.M.F. Ficking Fanning, decides to marry the notorious prince in Far, Far Away. And Maleficent's like, no, 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 this can't happen. What entails is this crazy fairy tale, wild fantasy ride story. Michelle Pfeiffer is like the upcoming queen who tries to eradicate all the magical fairies in Far, Far Away. Maleficent is trying to stop this wedding because the wedding's actually a trap to take all the fairies into this one castle and gas them. Huge Adolf Hitler vibes. And basically the end just kind of shows that Maleficent is this bomb villain, anti-villain, and hero all mixed up in one. And you end up just loving that she, you know, managed to switch sides and support Elle Fanning, who has to be the next beautiful thing happening in Hollywood right now.
Can I just ask, in Maleficent 1, is Angelina Jolie's character called Maleficent?
Mm.
Was Maleficent the baddie in the end? Was she defeated?
You're right. Context,
she
context,
was misunderstood.
Context. So Maleficent is the baddie who orchestrated the spindle touching in Sleeping Beauty that put Sleeping Beauty under the spell for 100 years. And now she's coming back as, you know, this cheerleading, you know,
well, she was
icon.
It turns out that she was abused, but she actually loves the daughter and she tries to break the curse. But through misinformation, everyone still paints her as the villain. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Mm. And Maleficent being a fairy, she's a target in this film because Michelle Pfeiffer, who plays this Adolf Hitler, you know, copycat, is trying to eradicate all fairy creatures in the whole kingdom.
So it sounds like there's some subtext going on here, and maybe, is it a Disney movie?
Disney film.
They're sort of trying to link to other things?
Well, I just think that
stories?
What I've been thinking about with Maleficent 2 is that, you know, I think these days people are becoming more media literate, and obviously every single film you can read into in a certain way. But these days, with like woke culture, I guess, we're now understanding that, you know, these grand, huge blockbusters have coded messages and people can read them now, and they're becoming more legible and more obvious. And
it's a little bit more desperate. I feel like Maleficent is like so quintessentially an anti-war story.
Yeah.
At a time when it feels like everyone is gearing for like a fascist regime.
But
worldwide,
also an anti-genocide story.
When... You know, while Chile is happening, while Hong Kong's happening, it's like we literally see Michelle Pfeiffer for a long time as well in like a Disney movie. For 30 minutes, you basically see like Leslie Manville, Juno Temple and Imelda Staunton as fairies getting gassed.
Yeah.
And, like, it's really, really confronting.
In the penultimate castle scene where the gassing's happening, a tree protects these three fairies that you just named and, like, dies in front of them. And you just think, wow, this is horrible and saddening to, like, link to real history that's happened. Mm. And to think that Disney is propagating this is kind of ballsy, I think. I cried. And that, to me, made me feel like this movie is beyond important.
Starring the actress Angelina Jolie, whose last film was, like, in Cambodia that she directed, All in Khmer,
yeah,
about the war in Cambodia and the genocide in Cambodia, is now, like, fronting a Disney movie about genocide.
Do you think it's a big risk for Disney to take on, like, tackle such a heavy topic?
No, because it's been happening for years. Every single Disney film has subtext to it, but now we just know what the subject is because we're just smarter and we just have people like Ronan Farrow who can decode films for us and write books about them. But
now, film lords as
and
well.
Film lords as well. So you can go see this film and watch it as, like, you know, a rompy Disney movie with, like, a bit of war in it. Or you can read it as this allegory for what's happened in the past 60 years of civilization.
Maleficent 2, what would you give it in a word?
Oh la la.
Maleficent.
Maleficent. Just that title.
Okay, Jen, let's go to your review now. You're going to be looking at a movie that's coming out primarily on Netflix, but we'll also see a bit of a release in cinemas as well.
Hopefully.
It's a new one from Steven Soderbergh from the Oceans movies and as well...
Magic Mike.
Let's take a listen.
All I did was try and send money.
It's a scam that goes from Houston to the West Indies to some bank who knows where.
They're getting away with murder.
Which is bad.
Bad? Yeah, bad is such a big word.
Now, are you going to need to know about financial scams and that sort of thing to enjoy this movie?
No, the film exists to explain that to you. I think it's one of those, like, if you have no concept of, like, what the Watergate scandal is, you should watch All the President's Men. This is kind of like, that's, like, old reference. But this is, if you have literally no idea about, like, offshore money laundering and Panama, this is a film that explains a real-life sequence of events in this, like, glitch in the matrix, messy, like, Brechtian breaking the fourth wall way with huge kind of villainous actors like Gary Oldman, who's been Me Too'd, Antonio Banderas, Meryl Streep, who, you know, climbed Uluru for some shots as Lindy Chamberlain for an Oscar nom. Like,
whoa, did not know that.
No,
didn't.
And so you're watching all of these people explain to you money laundering and you're a little bit like, I don't know, like, you guys feel like the 1% talking about the 1% to me.
Mm.
But it is also on Netflix, kind of revolutionary, and by a director who has constantly evolved with the times, has constantly been, like, the high watermark of American filmmaking, Steven Spielberg. He can do high and low, and recently he's been doing... He did Unsane on an iPhone about, like, the problems with the mental health industry. He did High Flying Bird about, like, the racism in basketball. That was a really complex film but made it to Netflix. And now he's done The Laundromat, which is, like, a crazy film about Meryl Streep uncovering this, like,
the Panama
chain
papers.
Of, like, a security fraud. Like, not security fraud, insurance fraud that was worldwide and involved some of the richest billionaires in the world.
The Laundromat. What would you give it in a word?
I couldn't watch this in good faith because I felt so... This is actually... What I found so interesting about this film was that it was the first time that I watched a film with Gary Oldman that I could not stand.
Is that the one that's been Me Too'd?
Yeah. He has been publicly... It's been quite public that he's been abusive to his wife.
But we're going to use the word alleged. You know what
alleged.
I mean?
But anyway, I couldn't in good faith watch this. It was hard. I watched an hour of it and then I turned it off, especially because he was doing the least interesting trope in film, which is breaking the fourth wall. Honestly, the only person that can break the fourth wall is Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City, and to see Gary Oldman do it to me, I was like, I don't want this person to be talking to me face to face, okay? Get out of my life, get out of my screen, get off my Netflix.
But he was also playing like a disgusting villain, so part of me is like, is it good casting or should this guy just never be paid for a short movie, you know what I mean?
Okay, so in a word, The Laundromat.
Unbearable.
I'm gonna say malfunction.
Malfunction?
Malfunction.
Yeah, truly.
I'd like you to explain that to me.
I think it's like we were listening to some Hardstyle last night and we were like, whoa, this sounds like a malfunction. And this movie is just like five different stories on top of each other. Everyone's calling it a mess, but that's like the kind of movie I like.
A malfunction because when you see a film that has people who have allegations against them, it pollutes the entire film. And that's the malfunction.
Yeah.
That was two reviews, and you can check them out on the Instagram at movies_movies_movies_. Whenever I come out of the cinema, I always go straight there to see what Jack and Andre, our film lords, have said about something, and then I have something interesting to tell my friends and say on air as well. So thank you so much for that. Now, Movies, Movies, Movies will continue right after this song from Clipso. We're going to be telling you about a local free screening series with some very scary movies. Defend Your Situation by Clipso. It's now time to find out where you can get along to a free event happening locally with the next level of scary movies to add to your repertoire.
What's happening? Movies, yeah, I love Sydney. Movies, movies. Sydney Spotlight.
So Art Gallery of New South Wales is doing a series on the dark arts, starting with the, as Jen has written, disappointingly vapid Suspiria. I thought it wasn't that bad. You know me.
Suspiria?
With good old Dakota.
No, the new one. The old one.
Oh, it's the old one. Oh, that is disappointingly vapid. Yeah, truly, truly, truly. Okay, sorry. The original.
There's like one that's like, okay, everyone knows this one. They'll come to it. But the rest of the series is like, rainy day goodness.
New Suspiria is the shit. But the old one is screening at the New South Wales Art Gallery as part of the Dark Arts series, which is going to be followed by other amazing films such as
Harmony Korine's favourite film, Celine and Julie Go Boating.
Best film of last year, Happy as Lazaro.
And also, the unforgettable Venice horror masterpiece Don't Look Now by Nicholas Roeg, who also directed The Witches.
If you want to see Australian art film, check out Tracy Moffat's Bedevilled, which is hands down the best Australian film ever made. I haven't seen it, but it is rare.
It's so good. I saw it at the film festival this year and it blew me away.
Are these all art house films?
I would call them that, but they're so easy to watch. Yeah. Like, they're just good movies, you know what I mean?
Don't be scared by that word, okay? Be scared of the dark arts, but don't be scared of art house is all I can say.
Be scared of, like, sitting through a trashy Netflix horror made by a bunch of frat boys that is going to bore you to death. Like, go to these movies and have some, like, actual, like, chocolatey goodness.
I'm getting excited.
The best way to describe it is that it's undemanding art house that's actually enjoyable and not emotionally draining, all in a word.
The last one is Uncle Boonmi, who can recall his past lives, which one can't, and it's by our favourite filmmaker, Thai director Apichapong Risthakul. And it is just this, like, ambient, slow come down of a movie with, like, spirits in the Thai jungle.
Just say how it is. It's Billie Eilish in Thailand.
Yeah, basically all these movies are great for a come down. So it's perfect for Sunday sessions. You're going to have such a great time in this, like, beautiful
Tickets
cinema.
Tickets are free. It's from the 6th of November to the 15th of December. A long-ass time to watch some kooky movies.
And after you see a movie at the Art Gallery of New South Wales, you can hang out and discuss it around the art.
Exactly.
Or just go up and have a peruse around Mrs. Macquarie's chair or whatever it's called.
Beautiful. what a gorgeous day out.
Yeah, what a lovely day out. And for free, my favourite price. Just don't try and park there. They'll nab you.
Just walk there, honestly.
Hey, what are you guys off to do right now?
We got a run to go interview some workaholics. We're going to interview Gillian Bell, who's in a poppin' movie called Brittany Runs a Marathon. You may know her as the star of Rough Night, which came out 2 years ago, 1 year ago,
with Alana Glazer.
She's also an art house actress, having appeared in 2 Paul Thomas Anderson films, and only one of them, her scene was deleted. And we're going to go talk to her about Brittany Runs a Marathon and Running Shame.
It came out during Sydney Film Festival, but it's coming back to cinemas.
On the 31st of October, so you can check it out very, very soon. It's also going to be on Amazon, but don't watch it on Amazon, watch it at the movies.
Don't forget, you can listen back to all the episodes and in-depth podcasts by going to fbiradio.com/movies or checking out the podcast Movies, Movies, Movies. Thank you so much, Jack and Andre, for coming in.
Thank you, Bridie.
Now we'll hear your interview with Gillian Bell next Monday, and you'll be away for that one, but we are having a fill-in, Gloria Bosse, who's been here before, and we love her so much. So looking forward to that. Music now from Lana Del Rey.
Aww.
For you, Ange.
Aww.
This is the greatest. And coming up soon, we're going to be chatting with Elizabeth, our independent feature artist of the week here at FBI 94.5. You're on Mornings.
I miss Long Beach and I miss you, babe. I miss dancing with you the most of all. I miss the bar where the Beach Boys would go. Dennis's last stop before Kokomo. Those nights were on fire, we couldn't get higher. We didn't know that we had it all. Nobody wants
I'm signing off after all. To feel just like you used to, when baby I was doing nothing the most of all. The culture is lit, and if this is it, I had a ball. I guess that I'm burned out after all.
This podcast is produced by FBI Radio in Sydney. Find more at fbiradio.com/podcasts.